we have. And so many good things, it's a nice bad, since I am pretty good through my dear letter together. You all my guides, and all hours of care with all kinds of people, who do the blindness, with all kinds of business. The form of construction is conservative, I'll say you say, that that form totally saw in bourgeois in it, and I am a little lazy, and I am in trouble to all, to Ella in the Hawkmore, and she was an Asian higher, and Major Taylor, who stood in the background. As if she had nothing to do with all my aces. The first proceed is here in my maid. She saw that school, she was all, because that's all, until that's all, in the ocean of your mind. And that's all, that's all, you may be superficially appeared, that is charming, beautiful girl, that is 20 years old, is more charming than a little girl, for the good of all, and the good chapter said that he make a girl of 20 who is beautiful, more than you beautiful, but the girl of the don't do know, if you didn't do know, you have to say a good night to you. And the other nation, the corner of honor, all the Jews saw the dry tears from your eyes, because the height of themselves in the mirror they draw is the mirror of the whole personality of the person. But
that's somewhat of an intellectual evaluation of a person's life. Lispot, Lefkosa, there are certain things that words are too limited, that ideas cannot be expressed with words. And I think when one talks about their mother, especially about my mother, Lispot falls short of talking about what she did, who she was, and what she accomplished. In Parshas Masai, the Torah mentions 42 campings that the Jewish people made in the Midbar in the desert, 42 stops. And one wonders, why was it necessary for the Torah to mention all the 42 stops? But I think we have a tendency to generalize. We talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Two words. What was involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim? So much was involved in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol mako makos yevehi Hashem v'yekadosh baruch hu al Mitzrayim shel chamosh makos. Very often, those who do the most for us, those are the ones with whom we generalize. We realize what a mother does for us every day, every morning, every evening, every afternoon, from the time we're little infants. We can't just merely say, she brought us up, she fed us, she took care of us, she took us to school, she did homework, she did our homework with us, she helped us later on in life. Because that's generalizations, but there are no words that can describe it. And the only thing is lifkosa. It's an expression of feeling, it's an expression of emotion. Words are too limited. Everybody knows of the special role my mother had as an Eishes Chayil, as my father mentioned. How she took care of my father both before his stroke and after his stroke. I don't think that there is any wife that could serve the same example that she served. Everybody knows that my mother was perhaps one of the outstanding teachers of our generation. I heard from my father that the Pasuk Hashir Saves Banavez Base of Akram regarding Avraham Avinu, that Avraham commands his children and his family after him, does not only have to be taken in the literal explanation that he commands his children after him in how to act, tells them what to do. But Acharav, he teaches by example after him. That was my mother. Yes, my mother was an outstanding teacher behind the teacher's desk. She was an outstanding teacher in front of the blackboard. But more than all that is Achareha. She taught by her example. She taught by her example how to be a parent. She taught by her example how to be a wife. She taught by her example how to be a teacher. And she taught by her example how to be someone who had fear of heaven. And it wasn't artificial. Very often, people's commitment is artificial. It comes, it's like something they read from a paper. By my mother, her commitment, her devotion, the Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to her family, to her students, to Klal Yisrael. That came naturally from her. It wasn't something that she just said. And the Torah tells us regarding the carbon of Hebel, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the carbon of Hebel and rejected the carbon of Kayin. Hebel hevi gamhu mekorosono. Hebel brought also from the best of his flock. I think the Shlach says that Hebel hevi gamhu mekorosono. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept the carbon of Hevel? Because Gamku, it wasn't just the carbon. It wasn't just the sacrifice. But Hevel brought himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what we could say about my mother. In all areas, she brought herself. It's not only what she did for my father, but she gave herself over completely. It's not only what she did for her children, but she gave herself over completely to her children. It's not only what she did for her students, but she gave herself completely over for her students. Teaching was not a job. Being a wife was not something she just did. Being a parent was not just a relationship, but it was part of her essence. She brought herself. And I think, one wonders, how is it possible to give oneself over completely to the children, to the husband, to the students, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah? But the answer is, all of it was giving oneself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by her. She saw that, maybe not consciously, maybe unconsciously, but she saw that as a shlichus. She didn't teach Torah because it was a job. But that was a mission of life that began when she was yet a young girl. As a wife, that was part of her mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to her. As a parent, that was part of the mission that she had. Like I mentioned, there are too many things to mention. Lisbon is almost impossible. But I want to mention Shabbos. She was in a state that the doctors told us was the state before a coma. And it was difficult. It was difficult to communicate with her. She couldn't talk. But interestingly enough, she was able to sing. And my sisters, who throughout her illness showed their devotion by being at her bedside, were singing with her. Smiris, whatever it might be. And then at a certain point, I took over. And we sang certain songs and she followed along and she sang also. And I was thinking of what to sing with her. And it dawned on me, maybe I'm in Mammon. And she sang it. And then when I stopped, she continued to sing it. And then when it came to Yafalpi, she is my Maya. She emphasized it, the Yafalpi. Even though I'm an imam, and I believe she said it with emphasis. She had so much pain. She didn't know what was going on. She wasn't able to communicate with us. But she communicated to us the FLP. Even though an imam, and I believe. Why? Because her commitment was a natural commitment. It was her essence. It was her being. It wasn't something she just did or said. It was part and parcel of her. And what I want to say is that we have the second to last Agimamin, is Agimamin Bamun Shleim of Vias HaMashiach. But now we look forward to the last Agimamin, to the Agimamin of Tzias HaMeisim. We're looking forward when we'll all be together again. Tia Napsha Tzur Tzurach.
My mother was known to most of you as the Rebbetzin, or Rebbetzin Soloveitchik. But to me, she was my mother. And she was the person that from childhood on, I, as well as the rest of my siblings, we called her Mommy. This is how we refer to her from childhood. And what is a Mommy? Not just a childish word. The Gemara says in the Sefer Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Goloi v'yadua, v'zei misha omar v'hoya olam, shebein mechabed es imo yosar me'odit, v'zei shem v'shadalto v'dvorem, v'stika chichtim v'chav jivaruchu, kibir av v'kibirayim. Goli v'yadua, with Neimisha Omer v'hoya olam, before the Ribono Shel Olam, before the creator of the world, that it's natural for a ben to honor his mother more than the father. Why? Because she provides comfort, soothes him through her words. And this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world. This is a role ordained by God. Misha Omar Bahoya Olam created mothers with disabilities to be Mishadelas Bizarim, to soothe the child, to comfort the child. And this is not a role that a mother fulfills for a young child of 2 years old. This role is fulfilled by a mother equally for a child of 2 years old and a child 50 years old. The same role of Mari is fulfilled for the child that's 50 years old. The mother soothes the child. The mother comforts the child. The nature of the words by which the mother is Mishadelas Vidvarim may vary from the child who's 2 years old to the child who's 50 years old. But it's the same role. And as a young child, I received this comfort and this soothing from my mother, perhaps in the words, the sweet words that she spoke. But as I matured and I got older, I realized that there was a much more significant Mishadelas Tzibar. If I had a problem, something that bothered me, I called my mother, and she made me feel better. I didn't even have to discuss the specific problem. Just talking with her and hearing her perspectives on life and her values, that alone would comfort me. I didn't have to discuss the specific matter that was troubling me, because she had a certain perspective on life, and that was, do what you have to do. Fulfill your responsibilities. Value the things that have eternal value, and don't worry about that which is essentially unimportant. This is what she taught us. And it was something bothering me, and I called her on the phone. I felt better, immediately. I immediately felt better. And we recently had a banquet. We were able to honor my mother. She was this banquet. And she prepared a response. And in her response, she said, I'm reading for her response, I always felt that one who comes into this world has to add something to the world. And not let me show up. each person has to add something. And I read her statement, every person is given a special mission in life, and our obligation is to fulfill that mission. Sometimes it is hard, sometimes it is not so hard. Most of the time it is difficult, as Mother said. But if we fulfill our mission, we have done what we have to do. This is speaking to my mother, Mommy, this is what you taught us. You taught us that you have a responsibility and you have to fulfill the responsibility. And don't worry about all the things that are unimportant. This is the way she lived. We should tell us in harm that she comforted us. We were talking among ourselves that going home from the hospital, feeling down and depressed with the situation, our first instinct is, we'll call Mommy. This was the first instinct. She'll make us feel better. We have no one to call. My mother always taught us this. You have to do what is right. Do what is right. Let me just mention one recent illustration of this. As I mentioned, we recently honored my mother, Tisha Christ Connected. And I asked her to prepare a response. And although she was very skillful at writing, she was too weak to write. So I said to her, you tell me what you want to say. I'll write it down. So I came to the house with a tape recorder. And I said, tell me what you want to say. And I recorded it. And then I wrote it down. Esther printed it up. And I brought it to her. And essentially what she wrote, the main point of her response was that everything she accomplished, she owed to what her mother, Emerson Ruth Schurin, taught her. This was the main point of her response. I left the printed copy with her, and then I went home. I thought, look it over. If you feel that there have to be any corrections, we'll make corrections. I came home. Half an hour later, my mother was on the phone. She said, "We have to rewrite the speech." I said, "Why do we have to rewrite it? What's wrong with the speech?" She said, "It's not right. It's not right." I said, "What's not right?" I said, I left out, I didn't mention Bobby Soloveitch, referring to my father's mother. So she wrote a speech where she thanked her mother and paid her respects to her mother, and how her mother motivated her to accomplish all that she accomplished, and she felt it's not right. So I said, you have a right to thank your mother. She's your mother. She said, it's not right. I learned so much from her referring to father's mother, Bobby Soloveitchik. I learned so much from her. I gained so much from her. It's not right. So from version one of my mother's response, where she says, I feel compelled to take a step back in time and give credit to my mother. This is version one that was printed. She repeated again to my sister Tova, who was in the house at that time. We wrote a new version. Version two was, I feel compelled to take a step back in time and pay homage tonight to two women who have influenced my life greatly. So although she felt that emotional desire to link herself with her mother, she felt it wasn't right. The right thing is to pay homage to both, her mother and her mother-in-law, and this is what she did. This was her example. This was her example. One has responsibility, and you have to fulfill your responsibility. In the hospital itself, lying in bed, hardly able to utter a word, it was apparent that her main concern was to make people feel good, to be polite to them, to make the visitors feel good. She could hardly speak, but when her sisters came from New York to visit her, She was able to utter a few words, to say to them, you look so beautiful. She wanted to make them feel good. This politeness, even at such a state, is indicative of what she stood for. We took my mother into the hospital and she lost the promise. Monday, they took various tests. Monday, Shavas Mataras was Sunday. Monday, with Ches Tammuz, they took various tests. They took an MRI of the spine. And it was a very difficult day for her. She was in a lot of pain. But Monday night, we had normal conversation. Somehow, between Monday night and Tuesday morning, there was a dramatic change in her condition. And whereas all along throughout the duration of her illness, even Sunday, Shabbat Mataras, and Monday, we could have a real conversation, Tuesday morning already, real conversation was not possible. Yes, we could elicit certain responses, but there was no real conversation. And I felt that at that point, I lost this relationship of Mishadalto Bidvarim. I was no longer able to talk to her and to be soothed and be comforted by her words. But in truth, looking back, I say to you, Mommy, that you once again showed me how wrong I was. And as my brother mentioned, on Shabbos we witnessed this amazing phenomena that although she couldn't speak at all on Shabbos, barely a word, when we sang with her, she sang along with us. Whether it was Swainail, Harim Ayan Yavol Azri, Azri Meim Hashem Osei Shemayim Baretz, or Ani Mamin, or Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTeshvi, Eliyahu HaGeladi, and Heiro Yavol Eleinu, and Mashiach and David, or the entire Adon Olam. And this was on Shabbos. And the entire Shabbos, the day of Shabbos, was spent singing with her, and she would sing along, and when we would finish, she would pick up herself, and we would be forced to continue singing. Chaim told me, he was there Motzei Shabbos the entire night, that she kept on singing herself certain phrases, and primarily the phrase that she kept on repeating over and over again Motzei Shabbos was V'imruchi G'viyasi Hashem Li V'lo Yirah. We sang Adon Olam with her so many times, and each time that I sang it with her, in my mind, my kavana, my primary kavana, was on the words, "V'hu keli v'chai go'ali, v'tzur chavli v'eis tzara." Kadosh Baruch Hu is our living redeemer, our source of strength and pain in time of distress. And as we were singing along, my kavana found this phrase, "Tfilas ta'Kadosh Baruch Hu." But apparently her understanding of the situation was such that she understood that the stress was on Imruchi Gviyasi Hashem Li V'lo Yirah. She was ready to entrust her spirit and her body to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she was stating Hashem Li V'lo Yirah over and over again. Motzei Shabbos she would repeat this phrase, the Imruchi Gviyasi Hashem Li V'lo Yirah. At a time when she couldn't speak, she could not utter a word. And I say to you, Mommy, that from this I understand that you are telling us that even when we can't have a lengthy conversation, even when we cannot converse in a real way, you are telling me that your comfort is still there, your soothing is still there, as long as we remember your message, the message of Hashem Li Lo Yirah. We strive to do the right thing, or we strive to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have nothing to fear. So I was so wrong in thinking that on that gloomy Monday night, when we lost this ability to converse with you in meaningful conversation, that I lost this relationship with Mishadalto Bidvarim. No, that remains forever. Over the last 6 months, approximately, it's been a difficult time, with first symptoms appearing, and then going to doctors, diagnosis, radiation, hospitalization, coming out of the hospital, chemotherapy, going constantly for blood tests to check the platelet counts, and finally again being in the hospital. And I took my mother to the doctor on many, many occasions. And I just want to share with you some of the impressions that I received, some of her reactions. Her first reaction that was, she said, "I can't afford to be sick." She saw herself as the caregiver for my father with this responsibility to take care of him, that she felt she's immune from illness, that the necessity to take care of my father makes her immune from illness. I can't afford to be sick. There may be symptoms, but I can't afford to be sick. Because someone has to take care of Anna. And the truth is that I also felt that way. In my mind, my mother was immune from illness. Because the Mrs. Nefesh, the way she took care of my father, made her immune from illness. This was the first reaction I noticed. Many people marvel how my father travels to New York. How he travels, how does a person that age, who's handicapped, travel to New York. Yes, it is something to marvel at. But what people perhaps don't realize is that my father gets on the plane and gets off the plane. All the details that have to be worked out that include preparing everything from beginning to end, whether it's a question of rides, tickets, clothes, food, medication. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do this in Chicago? Who's going to do this in New York? Who's going to do this on the way back to the airport? Who's going to bring home? All the little details were worked out by my mother. And this was her first reaction to her symptoms. "I can't afford to be sick." She felt that she can't be sick. She has a mission to accomplish, and she can't be sick. The second reaction I noticed from my mother after the disease was cancer was already diagnosed. She said many times, the Yiddish expression, she said to me many times, "Nisim kemenet palosim v'dav zogin tehillim." She mentioned this expression many times. That one has to follow with his whole heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the second reaction. And then, of course, she was misfollowed with her whole heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there were difficult times, when we would go for a treatment and it couldn't be done because the platelet count was too low, I took notice that sometimes in the car on the way back she was crying. And then all of a sudden she would stop crying and she would say, "Shari Zmolos Lominal." And she would express the tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that her Zmolos, her fear, should be accepted as a tefillah. And this all reminds me, brings to mind the Gemara in the Sefer Shabbos, where the Gemara tells about David HaMelech. And David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Let me know the day I will die." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Shabbos Tumas. And the Gemara tells, "Kol Yoma de Shabsah, the Yosef de Goris Kuliyoma." So David HaMelech would learn the entire day of Shabbos. And when it came the day, when it was the day when he should depart from this world, the Malach HaMavis came and couldn't do anything. The Malach HaMavis had no power over David HaMelech. The Gemara tells that the Malach HaMavis entered the garden and shook one of the trees. David HaMelech went out to see what caused the sound, still learning. But as he climbed the step broke. And for a moment he stopped learning. At that moment his soul was taken from him and he died. My mother went into the hospital on Shavuot of the Talmud. Monday he took MRIs. On Tuesday, we received reports from the doctors, and the neurologist spoke to us and said that the cancer has so taken over the spine, I'm amazed she's still alive. This is what she said. And I can't help but feel, Rami, that you too were immune from the Melech HaMavis. For all the reasons, because of the way you've cared for Abba, that made you immune to the Malach HaMavis. Because you believed with your whole heart in the Koach HaTefillah, the Daf Tilim Zogin. And because you cried that HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the depths of your heart. Shari Demolos Lo Ninalu. You really were immune from the Malach HaMavis, despite the severity of your illness. had the neurologist come and were able to continue to attend to weddings of grandchildren. The banquet, which to you was an occasion to be together with all your close friends. The Cohen family wedding, which you wanted so much to attend. Despite your severe illness, you were able to do this because you were immune. But somehow the Malach HaMoves on that Monday night managed to distract you by striking you with a blow that left you semi-conscious, unable to care for Abba anymore, unable to say kill him, unable to cry. You have to distract you from what you were so committed to in order to be able to take away your neshama. I still remember on the Shabbat Matanis that my mother was feeling so weak and so ill, and I called the doctor and described the situation, and the doctor said, you have to go to the emergency room and they'll admit you. And I said, except my mother, Mommy, the doctor said we have to go to the hospital. She said, who will take care of Abba? That was her response. And until the Malach HaMoves was able to distract you from this, you were immune, and that's why you were able to continue, this, despite having this such severe illness, which amazed the neurologist as to the fact that you were still alive. Very, very difficult part for me, Rami, very difficult part. I just want to say to you that just as you were, you know how concerned you are about Abba's care, was so important to you, this was you and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the way you took care of Abba. It's not going to be easy to live up to your standards, but we will follow your example in providing that kind of care. And just as you never forgot the lessons that you learned from your mother, Rabbi Shurin, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, so too we will never forget the lessons that we have learned from you, which you summed up in Motzei Shabbos. I'm repeating over and over again. Hashem, we will you off.
Whenever I have an occasion to speak at an important occasion, I always try to call my mother first, speak to her, get her input, ideas. Last night at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, wasn't able to call my mother. It was very difficult to somehow or another encapsulate her life in a few minutes. Mara tells us in the Maseches Brachos that Membeis on the days, that when Rav died, cast away, and his Talmidim followed, they tore Kriya, and they followed the Aram. Then they came back, they returned. And there was a Shailon Halacha, and they didn't know the answer. They tore Kriya again. They said, our Rebbe is gone. Who will guide us when we lose a mother? There's so many times that you have to tear Kriya, because there's so many times so you begin to realize the greatness of the loss and how much you need her. Anyway, I've been out of Chicago 15 years. Whenever I would come back for a visit with my family, without my family, whatever I was doing at the time, I always knew that I got to my room, I felt like I was a child of 3, 4, 5 years old. Last night, I couldn't even sleep in the room I was supposed to sleep in. I had to sleep in the living room because that feeling was missing. I didn't feel like that child and my mother wasn't there to comfort me. And as my brother mentioned, there were so many times, and this must have happened 15 times last night. It happened a lot during the illness. since I came to Chicago. Why had you and pick up the phone and speak to my mother? Speak to her, call mommy and say, how are you? Just to hear her voice. And last night there must have been 10 times where I could have torn an emotional Kriya that I didn't feel I wasn't able to call my mother. The Kli Yakar and Parshas Pinchas discusses, defines what a Bas Eretz Yisrael is. And my mother was certainly the Bas Eretz Yisrael. The simple meaning of the word. She always spoke to Eretz Yisrael, and she was so happy that she was able to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, to have a garden in Eretz Yisrael, to come to Eretz Yisrael and look out at the Har Yehuda. Unfortunately, she was able to enjoy it for 2 years. And I remember she would come, and we'd pick her up from the airport, and the whole time she would look out the windows, and she would say, look at the beautiful Eretz Yisrael. Look how much has to be built up. Everyone has to come here. The Kli Yakar and Parshas Pinchas has a deeper definition. The Kli Yakar points out that in Eretz Yisrael there are mitzvot hatuliyot baretz. We don't have these mitzvot in other lands. The Kli Yakar explains that since in Eretz Yisrael, the Matara Shemayim, according to the rains of the heavens, the waters of heavens, you should irrigate the land as opposed to other lands. That we have to work hard ourselves, but in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a partner. And we have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu part of what we grow in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, a person who moves to Eretz Yisrael is mechayev himself or herself to do more for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kli Yakar continues and says, and that's why the Dor HaMidbar did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because they did not want to be Mechayev themselves. They were happy to be Mitzrayim, or they would fulfill the obligations, but not be Mechayev themselves, to obligate themselves, to give more. However, no slacha they wanted there in Israel. They wanted to do more. They wanted to do the utmost. I would think about many statements that I heard from my mother over the years. This is something that she always felt. The person is here to try to do their utmost. And she felt she would try, she wanted to do her utmost. I remember as a little child, I'm the baby in the family. I remember, and at that time I didn't appreciate it. What does a little child know? How does a little child able to distinguish between one mother and the other and know the stature of one mother and the other? I remember as a little child, my mother who was a Rebbetzin, wife of Yeshiva, a teacher, would go with me every summer, she felt bad, she would take me every day to go bicycle riding. My mother and I would go bicycle riding every day, and then she would take me to the park while I would go swimming, and she would stay in the park, wait for me, and learn while I was swimming. I remember once she made a comment to me, and she said, I'm happy that I have a young child. She said, all my friends, When I gave birth to you, they felt sorry for me. They said, but you should get out of life, you ought to enjoy life. She says, Baruch Hashem, she said, I'm young now. I'm still young, you make me young. I'm still able to do things, I'm still able to get out. That was my mother's philosophy for her whole life. Whenever she was sick, the last few months, I tried to speak to her every day. And there were so many times that I called my mother and said, Mommy, how are you? She would say, fine. And she said, I'm very tired, we can't talk. And this would happen for days on end. And then one time, the phone would ring. One day the phone rang. I said, I answered the phone. I said, Mother, Mommy, are you calling me? She said, yes. She said, and I remember Friday night meals on the child with people and the Shalashudas. And in the last few years, even though it might have been difficult for my mother, every week she would have a Kiddush in the house and people would come over. But I remember, I once asked my mother, I said, you know, remember we sit down to eat the meal at 12:30 sometimes, 1 o'clock. I said, why do you have a Kiddush every week? She said, this is what I feel. She said, I feel Abba needs, the community needs. And this is why I want to do this. My mother is a student of the Gemara. Masechta Shabbos Lamed Beis, a seasoned one of Shemusim Paris B'chol Yom. My mother would always try to bring forth fruit every day. Everything she would try to do, when she would call, she would ask. And my mother, with all that she accomplished, I once asked her, I said, once speaking about what would she like to leave as a legacy. She was my father's partner. She taught many girls. I asked her about her legacy. She said her legacy are her children, her grandchildren, at that time her great-grandchildren. That was her legacy. And she spoke how important it is for her that she should have many children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. This is what my mother tried to impress upon her children, the most important legacy of how they all have been accomplished. She told me once on the phone, I must have called her up, talking about a certain problem. She said to me, "You know, I'm very happy," she said, "that all my children have to work. Imagine," she said, "if my children have to work, what would they accomplish? But now, every one of them has done so much for Klal Yisrael. And this was all because of her inspiration." Just to finish off, I think my mother's drive to accomplish was with her the last few weeks. There's so many people who are sick, and after a while of all the pain, they want to give up. And my mother, of all her pain, she has such a strong desire to live. She wanted to go on and to accomplish more and more and more. And that was that comes from the driving force that she had, that Hasidim Yilomar Shem Hasidim Peretz B'chol Yom, that she always wanted to accomplish. And that's what she leaves for us, for her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, the whole community. So always, Mommy will always remember how you inspired us to accomplish for the family and for ourselves and the Klal Yisrael. Ubi la mamas netzach l'machach shem l'kim dimin al kol panim amen. Shmash ha-tshur ha-tshur ha-chayim.
I apologize for standing here as a substitute for a daughter of an embassy. Some time ago, Clay and myself, our family, were making the travel arrangements to Chicago. And I was in charge of flights and the arrangements. And I was actually extremely proud of myself. I had sent my wife from Toronto to O'Hare, and I traveled to Buffalo, traveled from there to Toronto. You can imagine the savings of hundreds of dollars, weeks of salary. And when I landed at Midway, came to the house, Clay was already there, and I was walking into the door, feeling somewhat triumphant with this gewaltig hamsoah that I had. Came in, the first thing Rosh Hashiva turns to me, he said, "Before, you didn't come with Rachelaya." I said, "Hi, Rebbe, because of the flight and the money and this, and of course I know." Hashiva went to me, "Before, dealt his blood to not to come with your wife." I mention this because if there were those of us who aspire to be Talmidim, Morgan Hagon, Rainer Avon, Salvation, Shlita. We should know what area of Torah the Rebbetzin, Tchorla, Rav Chaim Haba, and the Rosh Hashiva both teach us. You can learn through Masechta after Masechta, intricate shachim, the kivagers. Where can you learn Umchabda Yoser Migufo? And where can you learn, as Rosh Hashiva said, from the bottom of my heart, I'm not a Rebbe, but I want to give a bracha to everyone who is mishtatef in making that dinner, honoring the Rebbetzin in a reality. Ashreichem to anyone who participated in that great event. And it was at that event that the Rosh Hashiva said, Shali v'shalachem shalahu. Where can you really see the embodiment of individuals of such stature, such enormous divine gifts, who in their relationship nonetheless embody the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha? There's something, one Nakuda I want to touch upon this moment, is that Rosh Hashiva should feel that we all saw the bracha that the Rebbetzin had each day, each month, each year, that she was a shutuf together with a Rosh Hashiva. We all saw that a gong and a gavul b'tora and an isha gedola can still have the love and the ava of the main urim stay with them. I want to apologize to Rebbetzin. Over the last few months, when she would speak to her daughter Rachaleya, often Rachaleya would get off the phone and say, "And mommy is crying. She'd be worrying, what's going to be with Zaydi? It's going to be with the Rosh Hashiva. If she's sick, how can she be sick?" And I didn't even allow that to enter into my consciousness, because I couldn't even accept the fact that she was ill. As Rebbe Leo mentioned, the neurologist said, how grateful everyone had to be that she survived months beyond what it seemed medically possible, and not just survived, but even when we arrived to the banquet, who even imagined that Shivasar B'Tamuz was a day of Huchbulot Soros? And on that day, a national calamity for Am Yisrael would take place. So suddenly, there would be an effect. I want to apologize for not wanting to believe and not wanting to hear, but I only wanted to conclude by saying the reason the Rebbetzin was crying was not just because she was worried. It was because the essence of her life was to be machabed, yoser migufa, Rosh Hashiva, and not being able to continue to do that, perhaps the most difficult thing of her illness. As I conclude, I want to say to Rebbe, not only does the family, not only does the Talmidim, the Klal Yisrael, urge you to give Bobby what she wanted more than anything else, the feeling that you'll be able, having had Bobby, for so many years be so dedicated to you that you'll have the strength of Yirtz Hashem to continue to be Marvitz Torah, to continue to write your Ksavim, to continue to provide for Klal Yisrael the inspiration that you and Mommy always did, and that now you'll continue to do, as the Kavod, the Maris Elabas Rus. And we hope that the Rosh Hashiva will find the Koach to continue and to give the Rebbetzin Neshama, the Nachas that she knows, all of the work and efforts have strengthened the Rosh Hashiva and will be able to continue to be Amanik.
He's right. Sacramento Avenue facing north. Please obtain an order to take your fuel sticker, have your bright lights on, your hazard lights on at all times. The shiva will be determined after the burial of where the location will be. This time I'd like to ask everyone to please rise. I'm going to escort the auto from the building. We just need to make a pass as we walk.
Where do you want to go? Yeah, please.